let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way, all the way.
Good evening, everyone. Let's take a moment of silent prayer at this time, giving us the opportunity to name and cite known sins, if we have any. And that way we will be filled, controlled by God the Holy Spirit, our true mentor and teacher. And if there's anything bothering you, now's not the time to concentrate on our problems. Now's the time to prepare to do the most important thing we have the privilege of doing, which is to study the Word of God. So let's take a moment to prepare. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for your plan that rescued the human race through the work of Christ on the cross, and that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And we thank you, Father, as well for the spiritual life that you provided for us to live in the church age, the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit, and the completed canon of Scripture, and the truth about who we are in Christ that's contained in the New Testament epistles that's available for us to learn and then to live by. And we just ask tonight for the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit on the communication and on the hearers of the word tonight. We also pray, Father, for the needs and the challenges that members of our congregation are going through right now. Father, the different health challenges and financial issues and family issues and other things that are going on. And we just ask for your guidance and provision and care upon all these things. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's on his merits we pray by the power of the Spirit. Amen. A couple of announcements. We do have a need for a prep school teacher or two for weekdays, for Wednesday and Thursday nights, for the 7 to 11-year-old kids. If that's something that you think might be a place God's calling you to try out, please see Deacon Steve Pomeroy. Also, we are looking forward to a couple of conferences. One, the Barah Ministries Conference in Phoenix, Arizona with Pastor Clark. He's the pastor out there, and he's invited me as well as Pastor McLaughlin to join him in that conference in May. It's May 13th to the 15th out in Phoenix. And also here in South Florida, we have the Lighthouse Christian Youth Camp from June 13th to the 16th. June 13th to the 16th. That's for the young people ages 7 to 20. All right, please turn your Bibles to the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Peter 3, 16. We'll get started with class tonight. As a reminder, we do have prayer meeting on Wednesday, and it'll be tonight, about 10 minutes after class is over, in the prep school room behind me in the back. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. We are on, of course, the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, we're going to take a look at an Old Testament passage having to do with Gideon, a man in the Old Testament, a saint in the Old Testament, and what he went through and what the Lord taught him through a great story in the book of Judges, chapter 7. And it's relevant to what we've been studying recently about how sometimes God has to break things in our lives in order for his plan to be fulfilled in our life. And we're going to see how that's illustrated by something that happened in the life of Gideon in the Old Testament. And so Gideon is a man who started out with a pretty big army, and then God kept whittling it down until it was really, really small, ridiculously small, we might say. And then even after that, we're going to see what he did with what weapons he allowed them to have and not have. And how they were victorious over an army of Midianites that was about 120,000 people. So it's a great picture of not relying on the human resources, on our power, but instead relying on the power of God. So we're going to take a look at that tonight in the book of Judges. But first of all, we're going to do a little review about where we've been. We, of course, are on the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and placing every new believer in the church age into a permanent union with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his body, the church. And we're on the fourth point, which is the definition and description of the baptism of the Spirit. We've been in the letter of 1 Peter, where Peter talks about baptism in the chapter 3, and he's also relating it to the conscience. So we've been spending a lot of time on the human conscience. And we've been examining our souls and our conscience and what our conscience is made up of and what our souls are made up of and the role that the conscience plays in our life and in our souls. 1 Peter 3:16. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. And as we've seen, the conscience is that soul faculty. It's a part of the soul by which one distinguishes between right and wrong. And that conscience urges us to do what we recognize to be right, restrains us from doing what we recognize to be wrong, the conscience. And as I've mentioned before, our culture has taken most of what our culture defines as the conscience right out of the way the Bible defines it. So the way the word is used today is pretty much in keeping with how the Bible identifies it. Not always the case. So we have to realize that we have norms and standards in our conscience, and that it's really important that those norms and standards in the conscience can make us or break us when we make decisions in life. And we've seen furthermore that the norms and standards that the church age believer is designed to have by God are found in the epistles of the New Testament in particular. Because that's the material in the Bible that's been given uniquely for the church, the new spiritual species. And we've seen, that furthermore, that a conscience of a believer now in the church age, who's been studying the Word of God, and is, that conscience now over time has been formed by doctrine, by the Word of God, by the Bible, especially by the mystery doctrine of the New Testament epistles. What happens is over time, those standards that are in the New Testament commands get built into the conscience of the believer. And at that point, that conscience is a supercharged conscience. In other words, it's got the highest norms and standards of any conscience that's ever been around in history because of how it's being formed by the epistles of the New Testament. The standards for the believer in the church age are higher than any standards that have been given to any saint in any other time, any other dispensation, higher than anything that Moses had to live under, or David, or any of the Old Testament saints. And it's higher than any standards that people after us in dispensations following ours, particularly the millennial reign. We have the highest standards. And therefore, since God has given us these commands and these standards, as we've seen, He has to also provide us the ability to live out those standards. We've seen a few of them. For example, don't be conformed to this world. And pray always. And rejoice in everything. And in everything give thanks. And loving our enemies and so forth. There's so many standards in the New Testament epistles that are higher than anything that's been given before. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. What did He do? He sacrificed Himself for the church. And that's the kind of love that husbands are to have for their wives, the sacrificial love. And like I said, you know, we're supposed to lay down our lives. We can't even lay down the channel changer at times for our wives. You know, so it's a big challenge. And something that's only supernatural going to happen. And the same thing for the wives. You guys don't get off the hook either. But the standards of the husband are pretty tough. And so that conscience that's there, if we're not careful, it can be a conscience that turns against us. And we need to realize something else, that when God gives us these high standards and commands, He also gives us the ability to live in it. And it's a supernatural ability because the standards provided in the New Testament epistles are the highest that have ever been given. And we must be brought to the point where we're convinced that in our flesh, our human nature, our human power, we cannot do it. We cannot do it. This is part of the glory of God, is for us to realize that and to turn completely to the resources that He's provided. Remember something, that we're living, we're called to live a unique spiritual life. We've been indwelt by the Trinity to do it, and the Holy Spirit in particular. And we have the New Testament mystery.